Okay, so I think it's officially starting. Do you see a thing on your end that tells
Yep,
you
it's
that
on
it's
the screen. It says Christopher is recording the call.
okay? Great. So what do you want to talk about?
So maybe this is how we should do it from now. Like the second we start speaking, every 2 weeks, it's recorded. It starts out recorded, and then we like get into a podcast, and then we can just edit whatever preparatory stuff happens. But it would be good to be able to capture any like spontaneous topics, like in the. What was that? Oh, yeah, I remembered that. Didn't we have a plan, this like ambitious plan about the radio show, about like how we would like deal with each episode or something?
Yeah, this is what we have every time. We have a plan, and then what we end up doing is we just get on a turn on the microphones and then shoot the shit for half an hour or whatever, and that always ends up being what we produce.
Do you remember what the plan was?
Well, I think I'm trying to look at my notes right now.
I remember it was more than like productivity goals. It was like ideas for.
Yeah, we had a whole format planned. I thought partly, and the other thing I also recall about it is that we kind of had this plan, but then I think it was also revealed that we had different conceptions of it. Like how we perceived that plan was actually slightly different, but. Like how I remember it is like, or at least one of the ideas we had was the idea of doing like we would talk about an issue or like a memory, like a recount an event or something, or like a salient memory, and then but bring like the per a person who was involved in that memory on to discuss it with us.
The memory thing.
So like if it was Joel, like let's talk about. The time you stayed up all night at Jason DeBank's birthday party playing Warcraft 2 or whatever, like weird shit like that, where, recounting something and getting the perspective on it and the distorted memories and the that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't we take notes on it? I thought we did.
I thought we did too. Every time I think we took notes, like it turns out we didn't. It's really weird.
Maybe we didn't we write something in a notebook? Maybe we took physical notes. Occasionally we would do that.
It's really nice.
Which I think you would have, I think in your notebook or something.
Where the hell would I put that?
I don't know. How many notebooks do you have?
1,000. Do we want to do a topic or like a.
Let's do a loose topic. I think the obvious thing. Is like, let's just talk about life under pandemic or whatever. And I think we should aim, like, obviously we can edit, but we never really want to edit. But, like, I think a good length for these kind of things now that podcast, like, it's funny to think about how when we started Deep Matter Radio, like, podcasting or whatever obviously existed, but it wasn't like a thing or whatever. It wasn't like the dominant or. A dominant media artifact or whatever at the time. So I feel like we just did what we wanted. But now I like having been experienced or versed in podcasts, I feel like half an hour is like a good length for stuff.
It drives me crazy when things are half an hour. It's too short.
No, it's not. It's
like when I'm working on something, it means that I have to be switching the fucking podcast every 10 seconds because half an hour goes by in a blink of an eye.
No, half an hour is like an eternity. And also the trick you do, this is, I finally learned this recently and I wish I had discovered it before, but the podcast application that I use lets you play it back at, like you can choose, I'm sure they all do this, but you can choose the playback speed. So I did 1.25 times or whatever, because people talk so slowly.
What the fuck are you talking? It's the exact opposite.
No, it's like
I want to go slower, like 1,000 times slower.
No, I need everyone to go faster.
So I always miss half of what's being said, or I have to rewind. It's the same as reading, or whatever. I have to rewind 1,000 times.
Well, I don't like I don't multitask and listen to podcasts in the same way that I think a lot of other people do. I'll put on a podcast while cooking or cleaning or something like that, but I don't listen to it while working or anything that would really have to.
How the fuck are you not listening to a podcast while you work?
Because it's too distracting.
That's the only reason I ever listen to a podcast.
So. No. It's the same way that like when I would do work, like schoolwork and stuff like that, or like in the days when I would, when I moved to Toronto and I go to Gerstein or whatever to finish my my thesis or paper or whatever you want to call it, I could only listen to like Do Make Say Think or things like that, things that were like lyricless, because it's too distracting. If I have to pay attention to people speaking, I can't concentrate on
what kind of work are you doing. Is it writing? Are you writing a novel?
I do a lot of writing.
Yeah, with writing it's horrible, but isn't there any mindless stuff that you...
No, that's always my complaint. I want to do more mindless things.
Oh, you don't do any mindless stuff?
Rarely, and it's because like someone else doesn't want to do it, and I'll be like, I'll do that, I don't mind. But no, unfortunately my era of mindless shit is over. Like I get I don't get assigned that stuff anymore. It's really annoying.
Jesus Christ. I've been so lucky these days. Like everything I'm doing is like really like a bland, like dry as fuck kind of like stuff that I don't have to spend like a brain cell on.
Yeah, it's my dream. Like a while ago I had to go through and this was like my dream. Everyone hated it, but I loved it. Like we had to go through like these lists of contributors with like names and addresses, and we had to see, we basically just had to look for duplicates, like look for similar names or addresses. So it was literally just scrolling through spreadsheets and spotting things. And then if you saw a similarity, like doing a bit of research, it was amazing. It was my dream come true.
I love that in American Apparel too. That's always been my favorite work. When I was given like the pins to like staple or whatever, like attached to each piece of clothing. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was the same motion like 1,000 times, or no, thousands of times, like all day long.
Yeah. I miss that kind of stuff.
How do we get to this game?
The ideal podcast length. Just talking
about being able to listen to a podcast while you work. That's what makes work like bearable as hell. It's like a pleasure almost.
Yeah, not for me.
So you have to listen to, you're relegated to music, restricted to music?
Except for I don't even, well, I guess a little bit I do that, but most of the time I don't do either, especially because I have to do a lot of like, not managing, but like talking to people or overseeing things, or so it's not as, I don't know, if I'm doing like research and writing, yeah, maybe a bit of music, but I don't know. I honestly prefer a lot of those things, and that's why I think I differ. Like I prefer them as like leisure pursuits rather than like just like, I don't know, complementary, like a layer on top of some other unrelated activity.
I don't think I've ever listened to a podcast like by itself. Or wait, no, like I guess S-Town was something that I had to listen to.
One thing I used to, when I first started at my current job, like when I would go far as fuck to East York, and also before I really knew my coworkers, so I had, and I was in the middle of nowhere without a vehicle, like in this industrial area, I would I would just walk around on my lunch break like in the weird area or neighborhood, and with a podcast on, just listen to the podcast for my lunch break. I would just like walk around listening to it. It was actually really fun. I'm like nostalgic.
I like the idea of that, but I could never walk around with headphones and like be able to pay attention, because I'm so overly conscious of everything around me. I would feel like someone's yelling at me to get off the sidewalk. And I'm missing.
This was like the, like it was either industrial or like kind of like not suburbs, but subdivision-y. So like not it wasn't like a pedestrian area, so like I would never see people basically on these walks for the most part.
Okay, so so the memory thing. I also, or even more so, thought of it as like a thing where we're just talking about like separate memories. Like, what was your first, whatever, like your first hug or something, like our version of like first kiss or something.
Your first eye contact.
yeah, first sort of like, or like the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you, or like topics like that, like, and then telling each other's stories, but it's like, it's different events, so, but like a similar topic, or the same topic. So, yeah, I would love to hear that kind of thing from everyone we know, basically, but especially, well, I guess some more than others. If we can, theoretically, if we make the topic, I don't know, I guess it's being disproven before, but if we make the topic deep Madarian enough, like, even, like, Barney the Dinosaur can be deep Madarian when we're interviewing him. But then, I guess, like, some people have a way of, like, twisting every... every scheme into like to in a way that it subverts like the Diamantarian ethos.
For this episode, should we just talk about
the COVID stuff? So are you still happy as a clam or
still? No. And I don't recall being that way in the first place.
You're talking. That's all you ever say. Like you say one microsecond of negativity, or whatever, and then you retract it by saying, "But I'm grateful for being in such a good situation compared to everyone else." Unlike the rest of your life or up to that point.
Well, I feel a greater responsibility because I have, it's the same way as Deep Matter went on. The article said more caveats, like there would be the headline. It used to be the headline and then the article. And then it became like the headline and a little bit of context and then the article. And then it became like the headline, a bunch of context and then the article. And then eventually the articles just became the context or whatever. And that's like, I feel like that same compulsion where, I do feel compelled to like, to acknowledge like the insane degree to which I, like my, malcontentedness or whatever is like so easily bearable, compared to like the world writ large or whatever.
But that's literally always been the case and always will be the case. And, like, that doesn't, like, I don't see why complaining about something implies that you have it worse than anyone else. Or, like, can't it just be complaining about something?
Yeah, but it's always based on the audience. I agree. But also, like, in the context of...
rest my case. We have a specific audience.
Yeah. But it's also like the idea that like in the context of you make like the conversations you're referring to have been like these Zoom calls with like 10 people on them or whatever. It's not like a intimate conversation or whatever where I can take certain things for granted.
Also, there's like a defensiveness to that. Sorry.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
You should finish your thing. Mine is like a branch off.
Well, mine I think was a branch off too, so let's do yours.
There's like a shield factor, like a defensiveness to like that kind of what do you call it? Like that kind of like mechanism of wanting sympathy or whatever, like, in those situations, because, like, as a gesture of, like, generosity about how, privileged you are, or whatever, like, also functions as a, like, as a lack of vulnerability, like,
it's like
as well.
Letting your guard down and then putting it right back up before anything can happen. But I,
so you're also so giving some, like in the interest of not taking sympathy out of the room or something like that, like hogging it to yourself, you're also like taking away sympathetic discourse to relate over with people or whatever, like, and I think that's at the root of the deep Mitterian, like I don't know, way of being, or that, like that's the idea that, like, even if you're privileged as fuck, you're also contributing something by complaining, and so that we can all talk about, like, ourselves as vulnerable, like, pieces of shit or something.
Yeah, but I also think there's a, there has always been a parallel current in deep matter where, like, yeah, it's like, it's good to be vulnerable and lament things, even if, like, in the grand scheme of things, that problem isn't that big, because if it feels big in the moment, it's worth expressing, with like a contradictory thing of, also, like, you should, like, exercise some restraint or whatever at times. And that, like, sometimes, like, you should just, like, be quiet about things or whatever, that not everything needs to be, like, that there's like a nobility in, like, the silent suffering or whatever.
But that's so contrary to everything we stand for.
No, but it's
like,
it's
complaining is like a contribution to society or whatever. It's like a social,
But again, it's like these contradictory things. Like, we've always preached both in a way, like in a weird sense of, like, the nobility of the silent sufferer, while also being like the loudmouth complainer or something. Because it was always about, like, picking targets or like that the kind of expression that was most warranted was the unheard expression, like, that not enough people complain about this type of thing or whatever, or like, this isn't getting the traction it deserves, and therefore I need to broadcast it more.
Yeah.
As opposed to the little brat or whatever, like the complaining about like not enough partners or something, or Nicholas Kerr complaining about being shy, where it's like shut the fuck up, you don't know what you're talking about, or whatever. Like, how dare you say these things?
Actually, well, that's the other thing. So it's like, there's like a distinction to be made between complaints that are about an experience that that people in worse situations are experiencing. Like, if you're complaining about being so hungry or something lately, because you, like, I don't know, like, or you're so poor lately or something like that, like, versus you're so, like, the weird shit that happens in privilege, or like, the ennui you're experiencing or something, like the weird mental shit or whatever. Like,
so
there's a difference between that too, like, like the extent to which there's overlap with the, like, the negative experience that the people in worse situations are in, maybe.
And that way we always kind of quietly contextualize things even before we would start writing, like, paragraphs about, like, what we're saying by this, or like what we mean by this, is just by virtue of feeling like we were always the worst off in all of these situations, and therefore
the audio's like cutting out.
What the hell?
Yeah, sorry. What were you saying?
I was saying that we always, like, initially, I think,
did it cut out again?
Well, it's not cutting out for me. I don't know what's going on. Like, It's strange.
So should we keep talking or should we switch methodologies?
I guess we keep talking and we just see what we can salvage from this afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, back to what I was saying 20 minutes ago before my audio kept on cutting out is I think like in the earliest days of deep matter, we contextualized by virtue of like we didn't feel the need to contextualize things because we felt we were the biggest authorities on the things that we were speaking about. We felt like no one else was.
Well, and we were in the sense that we were talking about our own experiences or whatever, so no one else is as much of an authority about our own experiences and our memories and our emotions.
Yeah, but I think more than that, like we felt like we were like filling a void or that we had identified of like a lack of people lamenting these things, and therefore by us filling it, we like had the we had carte blanche to say whatever we wanted or do whatever we wanted. And then I think as time went on, we felt a little less comfortable with that. Or at least as soon as it kind of spread beyond like the confines of our immediate friendship group. But all of this to say,
also known as the zine fairs.
Yeah, zine fairs and just like yeah, literally.
That's the only context we've ever expanded out of our like friend groups.
Yeah, but we started getting feedback on it, and we started getting reviews and stuff like that. Actually, that'd be a great episode just to go because we had compiled all those reviews.
That's a great idea. I'm getting so much pleasure thinking of you editing this episode.
I'm not going to edit it. It's going to be as is.
You better edit the fuck out of this.
We've never edited an episode beyond like...
I used to dissect them like a lab rat or something.
No, yeah, you did. No, like you would start and stop, choose a start and stop point, and that was it. You never stitch things
together. No, I would fucking slit things out.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would. Like a surgery. Like, certain sensitive topics and stuff. I remember, like, the annoying-ass process of doing it.
Well, we'll see what happens.
You probably didn't notice because it's so smoothly, expertly edited.
So that's how I, I don't know. This, how do we get this back on track? Where are we
talking? The overlap of complaints with people in less privileged positions. Or, like, how privileged of a complaint it is, maybe?
Yeah, so I don't mind that as much as like, so this idea of, like, the thing you flagged of, like, the vulnerability and then pulling it away instantly is, like, yeah, I see what you mean, and I also, am wary of that at times. Like, I think there's a time and place for it. Like, a time where you know you're not in a situation where you're going to be having that, like, a worthwhile conversation about these kind of things, and so it's, like, it's almost a way that you can express vulnerability without having to like, knowing that you'll never like actually get into depth with it in that particular moment. You can still like put it out there. You can still toss a little flash bang out there, and then it like dissipates or whatever. Like I don't mind it. What I'm way more wary of, like the thing I actually hate, the anti-vulnerability, is just all the obfuscating language that people use nowadays to talk about anything vulnerable, which is like they're expressing it, but they in no way, like in a way that you could never engage with. So, and what I'm referring to is like people referring to like the feels or things like that when they're like, this gives me the feels or something like that, where it's just like you can't. So they're like,
you have to edit that word out.
Why?
That's something you have to edit.
The F word?
Yeah.
Yeah, like people like dancing around the idea that they're experiencing some sort of emotion, but not articulating it in any way that you could remotely engage with or that you would feel like is even worthwhile to. Like if someone says that to me, I'm like, I basically don't listen to them. Like, it's not worth. It's
Yeah,
not
I just
anything.
start like planning how I'm gonna come.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. Like, I think in the context of like, do you always get annoyed if someone's like, this thing has been bothering me, or like, I've been really worried about this thing, but I know this, or like, in the grand scheme of things, that it's a pretty small, like a trivial matter, and therefore, like, I should be happy with what I have or whatever. Does that always
It
bother you?
bothers me because I can't relate with it. Like I haven't I don't feel things. Like I either don't feel things at all, or basically, or feel things enough that it feels worthy of expressing, and also that like to not express is like a disservice to some extent to I don't know, to like the emotional discourse. Like I think that's something that we should be serving as people are like socially, as social beings, or like that we like contribute to the sympathetic discourse or empathetic discourse between friends and stuff like that. So it's like a contribution kind of that you're making by sharing something, like some kind of emotion or like complaint. And to deny everyone around you of that is like a, yeah, almost selfish thing. And then to take a heroic stance of like, but it's because I'm a white man and like, I don't, like, I can't complain about anything. Or like, yeah, there's like obviously lack of vulnerability, but also, I don't know, like a hero stance or something like that that happens.
But is it better, like, so, but is the opposite always preferable, where someone like always centers themselves, or like centers their emotions in something, where they always talk about how something has upset them or has made them feel a particular way? Is that inherently better?
Well, yeah, I guess it's hugely dependent on how it's addressed and what the context is, and like so I guess it's in the con like so what I'm talking about is in the context of the conversation, or like the kind of conversations that we have like among our friends who are not in radically different situations, or like there's big differences but not like stratospherically big differences, so in our comfort levels and stuff like that. So like yeah, in those situations, like what I'm saying applies.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess as I get older, I don't know if I'm more guarded, but I feel like I'm less, I don't want to like waste my time. I feel like I guess I'm more cynical about who'll be receptive to that kind of thing, and I don't want to waste my time with like people who like I don't suspect will like engage at that level. So then it's just like it's almost like it's just like a way of being like we don't need to talk about this, or almost preempting it, I think, in a way too, if I'm delving a bit deeper into it, where it's like I know that these counter arguments exist, and that these things can be levied against me or whatever in regards to this particular feeling, or how things are in this particular moment. Therefore, like, yep, I know, but still this, but like, there's still the malaise, there's still the whatever.
I was getting ready to adamantly disagree, or like about not wanting to waste time like discussing, but then I realized that I think I do experience that as well, like in terms of like like I've realized the extent to which most people don't engage at all in that kind of conversation, and it's like so it makes it so exhausting to like go through such discourse like for no reason or whatever. Like, and then it ends up that I'm so vulnerable and they're like on this mountain peak or whatever, like looking down from
Yeah,
the
yeah.
top or something like that, and like what the fuck is this? Like, so yeah, it makes me not want to get into it.
Yeah, I feel like it's I feel like we're maybe better at recognizing that now too, where it's like or we're less likely to like, yeah, like we don't want to dig ourselves this hole where we're like the pathetic piece of shit or whatever, like,
Yeah.
oh, this. And then everyone else around like doesn't give an inch or whatever. They just like maintain their stone facade or whatever. So it just feels like so. And I feel like when I was maybe when I was younger, there was like a joy to be taken in that kind of like I think we almost like reveled in that stripping ourselves of all I don't
social
know
status.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I feel like now I'm less want to do that. Like, cause I don't want to waste my time on it. I feel like I have a better sense of self to some degree, or at least I'm more secure in my position. So it's like, I'm not going to, afford other people that like, that power or something over me.
Yeah, well, I think the main thing for me is that I used to assume that once you start talking vulnerably and like introspectively and stuff, like anyone would naturally like reciprocate that kind of discourse. But
I don't
but
think
yeah,
we actually believe that, though, did we? That was the whole point. Like, we always railed against the idea that no one cared about any of these things.
Well, I still feel like one-on-one that the logical, like the instinctual expectation for me is that if I get into like talking about my feelings and stuff, the other person is going to like talk about theirs. But yeah, I still haven't fully accepted or learned that people don't or often don't do that. They don't engage at all, or they just like at best they'll pity you and like and yeah, and like give you advice about how to feel better.
Yeah, exactly. They'll give
but
you
they won't contribute a fucking thing about themselves or their feelings.
Yeah, it was like, and it's something we've always complained about, like the like leaky boat thing. Like they're trying to bail out your boat as you're letting the water in instead of like sinking with you or whatever. Like
yeah,
this like weird. Tennis match where you say something and they feel like they have to hit it back to you of like, oh, I feel like this. No, no, don't feel that way. You've got all this or whatever.
Yeah.
And how exhausting.
The fish in the sea, like,
yeah, exactly.
Response.
yeah. I don't know why we didn't ever play around with that phrase more since it was so prevalent in our.
Yeah, like for one of our Deep Matter Monthly issue titles.
Yeah, or even just like an article on that. Like, I know you made reference to it, but like, it's funny how informative that, like, how in many ways, like, yeah, Deep Matter was like a reaction to that kind of narrative or something.
Yeah. So, what else is happening with your emotions?
Well, yeah, it's like hard not to feel discouraged by everything and just this feeling of everything having changed, but still people not being ready to admit it. And I actually just read this article that basically said everyone's talking about this like 12 to 18 month wait for a vaccine. And I read this article that just basically said that that's that would be like doing the impossible. Basically, there's never been a vaccine that's been produced and distributed in less than 4 years, and some have like taken decades.
But there also hasn't ever been a vaccine that was being worked on so widely, I imagine.
Yeah, like and they speak to it in this article, like too, like the leg up that exists with this one, plus that this is a virus or whatever that shares a lot of similarities with ones that have existed previously around which a lot of research has been done. So there is like a number of advantages to that, but still that like that timeline is so, like, obscenely optimistic. And just this, like, slow realization that, like everything, like, has changed for so long. And I don't know, like, it's just weird. I don't, like, I am a person who enjoys being at home and indoors and stuff like that. But I realize how important the ability, like, the option, even if I never take it, to do something else, I need that option to exist. And it's, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just, like, it's getting, it's almost like the idea, like, we've talked about it in, like, in regards to free will and stuff like that, that we don't, like, we don't believe in it, but, like, the, like everything's kind of on a preordained path insofar as everything that we've done before shapes everything that's going to come next. So maybe we couldn't have ever made a different decision in any particular moment. But the thought that we could have is still like it's still comforting. I think that's like the same principle here. It's like, even if my default is to be like a homebody and whatever, I like the belief that I didn't have to be like that. It was nice. But now it's just like this feeling of, it's like, oh, everything you need has to stay in this immediate purview or whatever. And like, if you liked going out and popping out for like a bite at the old local restaurant, like, nope, can't do that. And I don't know. It's just like a weird feeling that I'm increasingly realizing is like kind of bothering me. And I don't know.
That's interesting. It's almost the opposite, or it is the opposite of what I've been experiencing, that now that there aren't options outside of the house, I'm able to not despise being at home. Because like it means that, I don't have to, like, while I'm at home, while I'm stuck in the house, like, I don't have to feel like I'm missing out on all the amazing experiences I could be having outside of the house.
Yeah.
So I can tell myself that there's nothing else I could possibly be doing but being here. And that frees me so much, like, to enjoy being in my room and being in my apartment, in ways that I never have been.
Yeah. Do you think, because you still go out, like, a fair amount. If you were, like, actually stuck indoors, how do you feel like that would shift things for you?
I think the longest I've gone so far is, like, 3 days, in a row.
Of never leaving the apartment?
Yeah. And... yeah, there's definitely something happening there mentally. Like, it was like, yeah, it was really, I'm trying to remember what it felt like, but yeah, like, I really had to go out. And yeah, it's weird because it wasn't like, at this point, it's not loneliness for me because like I'm in a good situation socially and like romantically, but, so yeah, I'm trying to think of what it was, but yeah, there's just something like about that mentally that I had to get out at a certain point, and it made me so happy to be outside when I went out for whatever it was, groceries or something.
Do you, like, in your work, your work arrangements, like, how often do you speak to your coworkers on an average day now?
Almost never. Like, once a month or something.
So you, like, so for those 3 days, or for, like, in terms of your work, the work portion of those days, you're not talking to anyone during those, like, work hours, essentially?
No.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm still having, like, I'm still on the phone a bunch with, like, my coworkers and things like that. So I still have that social element, even if it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
And then obviously like living with a partner, so I have social outlets like both work and at home. So I guess I don't feel compelled to leave or be of the world because I can like approximate it well enough when I'm at home.
Yeah.
But it's so I think that's why I feel like just those like the constraints of like the things that I would maybe like to do, just not being available. Like I really like I'm thinking I was thinking the other day of like Athens, like sitting at Athens at like 11:30
Yeah,
or whatever,
me too.
and like just drinking like a coffee and like
On
eating
a
a
Friday
pastry.
night, like late
Yeah,
night.
exactly. And like the weird like that weird guy who would always be in there, like the short guy, like kind of bald or
Yeah.
whatever, and like what the hell is he doing now?
Yeah.
But like I really miss that like that feeling of yeah just being like just a like one of the like a face in a crowd or something like that you can
Yeah,
just sit
yeah.
back and observe like people existing near me but independent of me.
Yeah, intersection. I think that's what it is like or for me at least, like there's no intersection now with with strangers or like at least to the extent that you can overhear conversations or see what they're up to and like form opinions about what they're doing or how they're dressed or whatever. Like there's no observation of others. And yeah, it's like it's a huge loss, really.
Yeah, exactly. And like compared to like how much of it, like, well, you especially, but me. In my own way, like just experiencing it, like going to Ideal and stuff like that, like that was such a big part of the appeal. And yeah,
Yeah.
as you mentioned, everything now is like so any like interaction outside of like the regular ones, which is like yeah, your roommate or your partner or your coworkers or whatever, any like anyone that you're not already like well versed in, like you've talked to this person a thousand times, is going to be like transactional in nature, right? It's like a grocery store
Yeah.
worker or a like anything like that, like a service worker.
Yeah, and it's like laser pointed or whatever. Like that, you only like talk to the people that you have to talk to or like expressly wanted to talk to or whatever. Like yeah.
Yeah, and I have to
There's
think
so
like,
little like spontaneous overlap of
yeah,
people's lives.
and I have to think like thinking about like the kind of uprisings that are taking place across like well all of the US and then have come to Canada and in certain pockets as well. And, like a big part of that has to be like, yeah, obviously
Yeah.
the boiling over of this rage and frustration and whatever, but also just this feeling of like being connected to something bigger, like
Yeah.
actually being a part of like seeing your fellow human beings and like partaking in something collective,
Yeah.
like expressing that like kind of frustration and actually like that feeling must be euphoric at times, like being in that mass of people like united for something
Yeah,
compared
after
to
so
what you've
much alienation for so
yeah
many months.
exactly like it's really interesting to think about in that way. And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know.
And the coincidence of like the weather being warmer at the same time, and like yeah, it's like a confluence of things.
Yeah.
So, do you experience what I experience at all? Like the way that it feels easier for me to be inside because of the fact that there's nowhere else I could go.
Yeah, like I do take some comfort in it. Like I obviously have a more of a natural inclination to be not antisocial, but like to have my fill and then retreat into my domicile or whatever, my den, but my man cave. But yeah, like I definitely always had that like that general feeling of, like, I didn't like leaving things early or whatever, because I did feel like I was missing out on stuff. And so there is a certain comfort in knowing that, that things aren't going on without me, that everyone's down on my level, which I always liked about, like, that thing I would talk about with
winter.
Like winter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where it's like, it knocks everyone down like a peg or whatever. So there is, I do take a certain satisfaction out of that. But then at the same time, when I walk out onto like the balcony and I look at like people happy as a clam walking by, then I'm angry at Erlen. I'm like, wait a minute. They're not holding up their end of the bargain or whatever. They don't seem.
Yeah, it kind of undermines the satisfaction that I've been feeling indoors or like. Like, wait, I could have been doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, on the whole, like, I do, there is a comfort where, or I can, like, it almost, like, excuses, like, indulgent behavior in a way. It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card or something, where it's like, oh, like, I guess I don't have much, like, I can't really do anything else tonight. I'll just fuck around on the internet, I guess. Like, my hands are tied here.
It ascribes like a heroic like quality to like lethargy or something.
Yeah, like, it's like self-care narrative gone even more
further. Yeah,
where it's just like, well, I'm stuck inside. I gotta make the best of it. Do what I can to keep my sanity, and then you can literally excuse any activity that you are about to partake in or whatever.
Like, yeah, no matter how like asinine.
Yeah. Yeah, or how prolonged, like,
indulgent.
Yeah, so, like, I still hope to maybe crack a book one of these days, but
yeah, me too. I had so many reading aspirations that have, like, fallen away, molted off.
So, I don't know, but, it's just, like, the idea that this is going to be, and I'm sure things will change a little, but that broadly speaking, that this is how things are for at least another, like, 3 months is, I definitely think I've shifted each month in how I've thought about things and how I've experienced it. And
yeah,
it's just hard, so hard to know, but it's, I don't know.
How often have you been going?
Not often at all. Like once a week or so.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like even for like does that include instrumental outings like for groceries and stuff?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. How are you alive?
Because I don't want to go out. I don't, like, I actually feel like a discomfort.
How the fuck can you not want to go?
Well, for the reasons I expressed earlier, but, like, I don't really enjoy being out. Like, I could and I should find, like a certain walk or something that I can do that's, like, removed from, like, well-used paths or whatever.
It's not easy as hell in your area. There's so many, like, first of all, it's a residential area, so inherently there's no one around. And then laneways and shit like that. Like, it's perfect.
I don't think it'd be impossible, but no, it's definitely, like, the streets are full around here. Even when we, go for, like, to get our, pick up our groceries and stuff like that, like, it's, like, constantly weaving in and out and moving all around, and I don't enjoy it. Like, I find it, kind of stressful.
Yeah.
And so I don't really like it. I don't love being indoors all day, but we also have like our nice terrace or whatever, so I can take a lot of pleasure just sitting out there.
Is this bad for your body though too, like they never walking?
Yeah, I definitely think it probably is, like definitely sedentary,
so you should go for walks.
Yeah, maybe in month six I'll start going for a while.
When you've developed like blood clot sort of
bed sores.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bro, bike rides. I thought you had flirtations of like bike riding at some point.
Yeah. I'd still like to, but again, it all exists in the realm of, it's almost like reading a book. It's the same thing where I'd like to do these things and they make sense and I should do them. But then they get easily like subsumed in other easier like pursuits. And I don't know, like I just find like, so I get up and then I work and then afterwards I don't really, for the most part, endeavor to go outside or really want to be physical or whatever.
Yeah.
Physically active.
Have we reached the half hour mark yet?
Yeah, we've recorded over an hour, so I think we're probably good.
Yeah. So once you've edited it, it'll be like 25 minutes or something.
It'll be 3 minutes.
Once you're done all the editing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think we're done?
Yeah, I think we can wrap it up. Any final words, final thoughts?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to press this.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Say that.
Thank you, everyone.
Perfect. I'm going to put that right at the end.